So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period.
From high above all other primitively pedantic forms of Wyoming mainstream media, this is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to a special Labor Day episode of Cowboy State Politics. Redcoats never stop, and they never change their tactics. No, not even on Labor Day. One thing has remained constant, even before 1776, is that the main obstacle to the plot of all of these redcoats is the private ownership of firearms. Ah, yes, that pesky little Second Amendment. If it weren't for the 27 words of the Second Amendment, well, then redcoats could do whatever they wanted. And now we have a redcoat in chief who is trying everything humanly possible to eliminate the Second Amendment and to take away your guns. One of the very first episodes that Cowboy State Politics ever did was entitled The Tyranny of Joe Biden, in which we took every possible argument against the Second Amendment and completely destroyed it. So this being Labor Day, and I needing a break, just like all of you, I thought this was a perfect time to replay that episode for you so that you can all completely understand that all of these redcoats are completely out of their minds when it comes to the Second Amendment. And here you go. The tyranny of Joe Biden. And here's another thing. If guns are so dangerous, how does anybody ever get out of a gun show alive? I was at one a couple months ago and I saw people walking in and out of rows of AR-15s and not a single person was accosted. Oh, I forget. Those probably weren't the assault AR-15s. I get so confused. Maybe I need Joe Biden to explain it to me.
Recent events illustrate again and with chilling vividness the tragedy that results from the wide and easy availability of guns with firepower that overwhelms our police, of weapons that have, in my view, no place in hunting or sport, and whose only function, only real function, is to kill human beings at a ferocious pace.
Joe Biden's right about part of that. Any gun can kill large numbers of people with the right person behind it. But when our founders wrote the Second Amendment, the only hunting they were interested in was hunting tyrants, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Cowboy State Politics. I'm your host, David Iverson, broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming. You guessed it. Tonight we're going to talk about guns, or more specifically, Biden's plans to ban most of them. Oh, I know. I can already hear the gnashing of teeth coming from the People's Republic of Jackson. That he doesn't want to ban all guns, just assault weapons. But you gotta listen to what he says, and we're going to do that tonight. Because words matter, and in the gun control debate, they really matter. Most people have never even picked up a dictionary, or they haven't done so in a long time. And shockingly, most of the younger generation don't even know how to use one, beyond that they make pretty good doorstops. Words matter because this is how Democrats confuse normal thinking people to support their next increasingly idiotic cause. They switch words around to make things seem more reasonable, such as common sense gun restrictions. Now, we're going to get to that one a little bit later, but it's a good example of the liberal sophistry that I'm talking about. Gun grabbers like Joe Biden and company use the phrase common sense simply because it tells you absolutely nothing about what they have planned. It just sounds reasonable. Now, how many times have you used it? Oh, that kid over there, he just doesn't have any common sense. To us, non-politician types, common sense means the average IQ of your run-of-the-mill box of rocks. It means something else entirely to the socialistic Democrats who want to take your guns. Another one of these meaningless terms that you just heard me use a little bit ago is assault weapon. What the heck is that? The only way to beat these socialist sophists is to really nail them down on precise terms. That way they can't slime their way out of them. See, I use a dictionary simply because it's a lot harder to change something that's been printed on a piece of paper. It's super easy to change a website. Now, I know, I can already hear it. Well, I'm not using the word in the way that you are. I don't think so. I have a stack of dictionaries sitting here, and they all agree with me. If you've been paying attention, several words had their meanings changed by Webster's online recently during the ACB confirmation hearings. See, Democrats count on this, and especially so when they're talking about guns. I keep using the word sophistry, but what does that exactly mean? Webster's New World Dictionary of the English Language defines sophistry as unsound or misleading, but clever, plausible, and subtle argument or reasoning, specious arguments. And that is exactly how liberals attack the Second Amendment, because the facts just don't agree with them. Some of the other words we might define are infringe, to fail to observe the terms of, to encroach. Oh, now there's a fun one. To trespass or intrude. Now, I know how we all feel about the word trespass. Anyway, to advance beyond the proper original or customary limits. And, of course, the Second Amendment, the 27 most hated words in the English language by liberals. A well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Before I get a head of steam going, here's some immodest self-promotion. You can listen to the podcast on any of your favorite podcasting apps, Pandora, iTunes, TuneIn, also Spotify, that one's new. If you don't want to use one of those podcasting apps, you can always listen to the shows on cowboystatepolitics.com. They're all there, as well as all of the articles that I use during the course of the program. If your name's Joe Biden and you don't know anything, well, you can pull up the article and read it for yourself. But for now, back to the show. This is going to be a jam-packed show. I've got a lot of audio, a bunch of really funny, ridiculous quotations from Joe Biden, and several different articles to share with you that's going to prove the following 3 points. We're going to first answer the question why our founders thought it necessary to have a protection against gun confiscation. Secondly, how it applies to current laws and Biden's constitution-crushing plans. And lastly, as if those two aren't enough, we're going to drop the hammer, pun intended, on why all of a sudden the leftist socialists are clamoring for your guns. First, there's two terms that we need to define. The first one is militia. And this is from the same dictionary I've been quoting already. In the United States, all able-bodied male citizens between 18 and 45 years old who are not already members of the regular armed forces. There you have it. The reason why that's important is that was the main argument in the D.C. versus Heller Supreme Court case. Their main argument was that the Second Amendment only applied to military personnel. But they were wrong on that one, too. The second term that we need to define is bear. That's a large furry mammal with a short tail and razor sharp... Wrong one. I have a thing for bears. To bear is easy. That means to carry. So the Second Amendment applies to firearms that you can carry on your person. Even though I think that I need self-activated machine guns and Patriot missile turrets, the Second Amendment doesn't apply to those. It's only weapons that you can carry on your person. Rifles, shotguns, pistols, those sorts of things. So now that we all understand what the heck we're talking about, let's get to our first point. Why did the founders think it was necessary to have a protection of firearms? Well, to understand that, you have to look at the time in which the Constitution was written. And why was the Constitution written? Well, the answer comes from David Koppel, who is a research director at the Independence Institute. This is from a panel on the Second Amendment as tyranny protection that took place at Duke University shortly after the Heller decision.
Sure. As Professor Larry Tribe wrote in American Constitutional Law, the entire U.S. Constitution is a tyranny prevention document. That is the fundamental purpose, both to prevent tyranny of a despotic government with unchecked centralized power, and to prevent the tyranny that might result, for example, from foreign conquest against a confederation of states that was too weak and divided to be able to resist a foreign tyrant. The Second Amendment is part of that anti-tyranny system.
So the main point of the Second Amendment and the Constitution in general is a protection against tyranny, most likely tyranny of the existing government. And if you think about what we're going through right now, the tyrants are picking a fight with the one group that owns all the guns. I wonder how that's going to turn out for them. But we also need to understand the history that our founders were keenly aware of. And this is best described by Justice Scalia on a program called Uncommon Knowledge.
And it's expressed, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now, the prologue shows that one of the purposes of that, of course, was to help preserve the militia. Because the history of the matter was not, the English kings had eliminated opposing militias. The militia was not like the National Guard. It was not some select group of individuals. It was the body of the people trained to arms. And the way the English kings had worked their will was not to abolish the militia. They would take away the arms of those elements of the militia that they didn't agree with. They would prohibit their use of arms for hunting or for any other things.
So if you take away the guns from your people, it makes it pretty difficult for them to resist whatever it is that you want them to do. There's a famous quotation that was attributed to Thomas Jefferson. Nobody really knows if he said it or not, but it's, "Those who hammer their guns into plowshares will plow for those who do not." Now, whoever said this is exactly correct, because it illustrates that sometimes tyranny is used to make people work for you, not just kill them. So in an article published by the Berkeley Political Review, now this is striking because Berkeley is not exactly the bastion of conservative thought, but it's entitled "In Defense of the Firearm," written by Nathan Black on December 5th, 2015. The Second Amendment was not written to ensure protection against criminals, nor was it written to protect the rights of hunters. This is of critical importance, as it immediately undermines any argument of restricting so-called assault weapons and the like as overly powerful for civilian ownership. The whole point of firearm ownership is that it allows civilians to fight against agents of the government." End quote. So you don't think that this is on Joe Biden's mind? Well, it is, and here it is in his own words.
No, and by the way, those who say the tree of liberty is watered with the blood of patriots, a great line. Well, guess what? The fact is, if you're going to take on the government, you need an F-15 with Hellfire missiles. There's no way an AK-47 is going to take care of you if you're going to take on, you're worried about the government coming down, knocking down your door.
So he has thought about it. Fascinating, huh? Well, here's the whole point. It's obvious that the English kings had armaments and soldiers that were far superior to the people that they were trying to oppress. This is yet another example of good old Sleepy Joe going senile, no matter how much you liberals deny it. See, somewhere in the world there's some illiterate farmers with poorly maintained AK-47s and homemade explosives that were able to repel the world's greatest fighting force ever known for over 20 years. Here's Professor George McSorry from the Southern Illinois School of Law at that same panel on the Second Amendment against tyranny that I mentioned before.
One is an absolute faith that our government will protect us, even from itself. And by that I mean that all the internal nonviolent mechanisms that are built into our Constitution and our government, which are absolutely very good ones, will protect us. And two, that an armed population couldn't possibly resist an armed government. And I think both of those notions are historically defective. If it's absolutely true that an armed population could never resist a vastly better armed government, we shouldn't be an independent nation. We should be British subjects. Vietnam would have turned out differently. Afghanistan, all of these places where our military had so much trouble. And I think historically, you know, as Dave said, and the founders saw that, governments turn on their people.
Governments turn on their people. That's historical fact. Now let's get back to the knights and peasants. Probably the peasants just had rudimentary knives and swords, nothing comparable to a pack of knights that were coming after them. But the king still had to take those arms, because if they didn't, it was quite possible that there would be armed resistance and he may lose. That's why you hear Joe Biden talk about the Hellfire missiles. Now, he also has the secondary point of, well, there's no use fighting against the government because we have jets with all sorts of stuff on them. But that's not the point. So here's one more quotation from the late Walter Williams, who is a professor at George Mason University.
Well, I think that Americans need to be educated on why the founders of our nation gave us the Second Amendment in the first place. And they gave us the Second Amendment not to do duck hunting and not to do deer hunting and to protect our houses. They explicitly said they want us to have arms to protect ourselves against abuse of government.
And this one's from George Mason, one of the co-authors of the Second Amendment, in his own words. I found this at the James Madison Research Library and Information Center. It's on the website. It's a fascinating article. You should check it out. Quote, "A well-regulated militia composed of the gentlemen, freeholders, and other free men were freed slaves, was necessary to protect our ancient laws and liberty from the standing army. And we do each of us, for ourselves respectively, promise and engage to keep a good firelock in proper order and to furnish ourselves as soon as possible with, and always keep by us, 1 pound of gunpowder, 4 pounds of lead, 1 dozen gun flints, and a pair of bullet molds with a cartouche box or powder horn and a bag for balls." Yes, you heard that correctly. In some states, it was the law to own guns. And here's another one. This is from Title I, Page 1 of the U.S. Code. "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed, that whenever any form of government becomes destructive to these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or to abolish it, and to institute new government, laying its foundations on such principles and organizing its powers in such form as to them shall seem most likely to affect their safety, happiness, and prudence." I bet you didn't know that the Declaration of Independence is Title I, Page 1 of the U.S. Code, did you? Man, sometimes it's fun being a historian. But it couldn't be any clearer as to what the intentions of the founders were in writing the Second Amendment. It is clearly to protect the people from tyrants. Speaking of tyrants, here's Judge Andrew Napolitano from Fox News. Now, say what you want that he works for Fox News, and obviously he has that opinion. The reason you're thinking that is you can't beat my argument. But here's Judge Naps.
"The Constitution specifically and directly insulates the right to keep and bear arms from interference by the government. It could not be more clear. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. So since the Congress can't change the Constitution, how could they possibly take away your right to keep and bear arms? Here's the dirty little secret about the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment was not written in order to protect your right to shoot deer. It was written to protect your right to shoot tyrants if they take over the government. How about chewing on that one?"
Yeah, boom. I couldn't have said it better myself. Now that we have a firm understanding as to why the Second Amendment is there in the first place, to protect us from tyrants like Joe Biden, let's bring it up to current day and see exactly what he does have to say about the matter.
"There's no threat to the Second Amendment by telling people there are certain weapons they cannot own. There is no rationale to own a military-style weapon, an AR-15, that if you're a hunter and you need an AR-15, you shouldn't be out there hunting."
I really only need 4 responses to this one. Yes, it does. No, you're wrong. You're totally wrong. And yes, I do. Really, his argument is so sophomoric, those 4 responses would do it. But since the point of this program is to give you ammunition to use against your liberal neighbor, let's address them all. So the first one, telling somebody that they can't have an AR-15 is an infringement of their Second Amendment rights. Remember the definition, trespass. If you set 1 foot on somebody's property, that's trespassing. So telling somebody they can't own an AR-15 certainly qualifies. The second one, the military thing, the AR-15 has never been a military weapon. It's not automatic, and it's never been used by the military. They are used, however, in movies that depict military scenes. But that's it. The only thing Biden's doing here is playing on your entertainment preferences and hoping generally you're ignorant about firearms. That's it, but it has nothing to do with the Second Amendment. And his last one, we kind of already covered this one. The Second Amendment doesn't have anything to do with hunting. That would have never occurred to the founders. Hunting wild game was a part of just about everybody's life at that time. And secondly, who in their right mind would take away somebody's right to go hunting? That's just a ridiculous argument. And the last part, I don't really care if Joe Biden thinks I need an AR-15 to go hunting. I do, and for everybody's information, I'm pretty deadly with it. In this next one, Sleepy Joe is going to say that only certain people can have firearms. Now, this one's particularly insidious, and I'll explain why.
The Constitution doesn't say anybody can own a weapon. It says only certain people can own weapons.
Wow, this one's screwed up on a number of levels. So what he's really referring to is red flag laws. Now, those are completely left up to the states. And however insidious I find those, it's a state law, and laws differ depending on which state you live in. Now, the only real federal law that constrains the ownership of a firearm is if you're a felon, if you've been dishonorably discharged, or if you're guilty of domestic violence. So the first two wouldn't even have existed at the time the Constitution was written, because at the time, the only penalty for being a felon was death, and dishonorable discharges didn't exist. George Washington probably would have just hanged you. So the only one that's left is domestic violence. And whether we agree or not, that one's the law right now. So here's why that last clip of Sleepy Joe is so menacing. In fact, let's listen to it again, just so it's clear in your mind.
The Constitution doesn't say anybody can own a weapon. It says only certain people can own weapons.
The Constitution doesn't make the kind of distinctions that Joe Biden says it does. The Second Amendment says the right of the people, and that means all people. And this is critically important that you understand this, because we're living in a time of reductionism. And what I mean by that is we try to reduce everything to its lowest terms. You're black, you're white, you're gay, you're straight. The Constitution doesn't make those kind of distinctions. It says the right of the people, and that means all people. Now, we already discussed that the Declaration of Independence is Title I, Page 1 of U.S. Code. So the way that works with the Constitution is that the Declaration of Independence gives out universal principles, things that are true for everybody all the time. And then the Constitution shows you how to put those into practice, how to build a government. In this next clip, let's listen to Larry Arn, who's the president of Hillsdale College, explain this very point.
When in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people to dissolve the political bands that have connected them with another, and to assume among the powers of the earth the separate and equal station, which the laws of nature and nature's God entitle them. Isn't that a grand expression, the laws of nature and of nature's God? It's written like that. Also, it's not time-bound. When in the course of human events, that means any time in the course of human events, it becomes necessary for one people, that means any people, anywhere, any time. The claim is, what's going to follow in this document is right at all times. And so one way to think about the difference between the Declaration and the Constitution is it's a document about ultimate purposes, what they call in classic philosophy, final causes. Final causes are the things that we seek above all others, the things we would die for.
What Sleepy Joe is trying to do here, and perhaps I'm giving him too much credit, but this is the intent of the argument that he's making. He needs to bifurcate the people into groups. That way that he can say this group has these rights, this group over here has these rights. And of course, the Constitution doesn't say that. But the eventual goal is to say that those who oppose the government in that particular group don't have the right to bear arms. That's why I say that this particular clip from his speech is so menacing, and it's so critically important that you understand it. Not to mention that he absolutely knows that what he's saying is a complete lie. But it's a lie that serves his purposes. We'll get back to this special Labor Day presentation of Cowboys State Politics in just a second. But first, a totally obscene profit timeout. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or a giant roping arena or a fire hall or any type of building, well, then you need to call my friends Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. You can give them a call, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. They're the best at what they do. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do it better than anybody else around. And one more thing, you're never going to hear that dumb phrase, industry standard, come out of their mouth, because quite frankly, they don't believe in it. Morton Buildings manufactures much of their own materials, and their crews do most of the construction work. So give them a call, 307-674-2532, or check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. If you've been wondering where the purveyor of the most amazing hot wings in this part of the country is, Wing It Food Truck, well, on Tuesday, they'll be in Belle Fouche and Spearfish. Wednesday, Sundance, Wyoming and Wright, Wyoming. And on Thursday, from 11 to 7, they'll be in Gillette, Wyoming at Tractor Supply. On Friday, back to my neck of the woods at Buffalo, Wyoming, Crazy Woman Liquors. And then in the afternoon at Blacktooth Brewery in Sheridan, Wyoming. Make sure you keep an eye on the website on the sponsors tab. I'll have their schedule posted there on where you can find those amazing hot wings. September 17th, live from Rawlins, Wyoming, Cowboy State Politics will be broadcasting the United States House of Representatives Congressional Forum put on by Rural Wyoming Matters. The link is on the website under the live tab, and I've posted it all over Facebook. So make sure you keep an eye on the Cowboy State Politics Facebook page. Like it, share it, follow it, tell everybody you know about it. And remember that that link to the live event, it will be posted there and on the website and just about everywhere else that I can think of. And now, back to the program. This next one is a matter of a lot of debate. Guns in schools. Before we dig into it, let's hear what Sleepy Joe has to say in all his glorious senility.
Think about, talk about moral depravity. These beautiful young kids that are here, I hope I'm not saying too much with them here, but these kids that are here, when you sent those children to school in kindergarten or first grade this year, second, third, fourth grade, what's the first thing they learn to do? Well, it used to be when we worried about fires in schools is drop, roll, and cover. Now it's duck and cover. Literally, train to duck and cover. Run down the hallway zigzagging. Talk about loss of a soul.
No, Joe, I'm afraid you're wrong on this one, too. Losing a soul would be the fallaciousness of this whole argument. And this one's going to take a while, so let's begin at the beginning. We'll get back to the program in just a second, but first, some gratuitous self-promotion. If you want to reach out to me, you can hit me up on Parler, at David Iverson, or on Facebook, same thing, David Iverson. You can listen to the program on any of your favorite podcasting apps, iTunes, Pandora, TuneIn, a new one is Spotify, and if you don't like those, you can hear all the shows right from the website, cowboystatepolitics.com. On there, you'll also find all of the show notes with any of the articles that I brought up during the course of the program. If your name is Joe Biden and you don't know anything, you can read them for yourself and find out. The fallacy in this argument is that guns are the problem. See, a gun is an inanimate object. It can't do anything without someone behind it. Now, I started this episode saying that my AR-15 is the laziest gun on the planet. And it is. If I don't pick it up and do something with it, that gun can sit there until the end of time and won't hurt anything. In an article published in the Berkeley Political Review on February 1st, 2018, David Lewins writes, "In 2015, 39 Americans died in mass shootings, 20 in terrorist attacks, and 589,430 to cancer. Is it pragmatic for the American people to reduce the loss of life in isolated events like terrorism and mass shootings, when similar expenditures in other sectors could produce better results? The second issue with the mindset of irrational policy is the way that supporters of said irrational legislation may ignore who are disenfranchised by the policy. Effective regulation means that the overall benefits for a specific regulation outweigh the regulation's cost. Meanwhile, current Democratic gun control measures like the assault weapons ban would only reduce gun deaths by 2% and could be of monetary and symbolic loss to gun owners for next to nothing gains. Attacking guns doesn't just mean attacking inanimate objects. It is, in fact, attacking the rights personally granted to gun owners. This leaves us with one final question. Are the symbolic gains of these reactionary policies really worth the tolls that they come with?" End quote. So if the facts don't bear out the results of the gun control policy, then the policy itself has nothing to do with gun deaths. And it's not like we haven't tried Sleepy Joe's policy policies before. In 1994, we passed the assault weapons ban, but we saw no appreciable difference in the reduction of crime. I have one of these stupid 10-round magazines for my pistol, and it's just as effective as the 15-round magazine I have. But let's get back on topic. In yet another article in the newly discovered conservative bastion, the Berkeley Political Review, Dario McCarty writes on January 29th, 2020. Now, this article kind of goes off the rails a little bit, but Mr. McCarty has a point. Quote, "Besides, these gun control measures misdiagnose the true root cause of the problem. They assume that guns are the spring from which this violence owes the entirety of its origin. But to presume as such is to ignore the one carrying out the attack. It is to leave the angry, warped individual behind it completely untouched and unconsidered. Gun control cannot be the definitive answer to the mass shooting question when it does nothing to reconcile that which drives these violent, deranged individuals. Then what is the true root cause? It is something that runs much deeper than simply guns, and it is something so endemic to the American system that gun control would amount to little more than an applying a shoddy, makeshift political band-aid to one of our country's deepest and oldest lacerations." End quote. Now, if you want to know what he says the real cause is, it's capitalism. Like I said, it goes off the rails. But he has a really good point. We're not addressing the true root cause of any of these shootings, regardless of the fact that they don't happen all that often. It's the person pulling the trigger. To quote Walter Williams again, there are way more knife deaths in America than there are gun deaths every year. And if you want more evidence, look to the gun ban in England. After that was passed, murders went up. Okay, back to schools. So why do we still have school shootings? Well, it's pretty clear that those really dumb gun-free school zone signs didn't do anything, but I suggest that it's because we don't have guns in schools like we used to. Yep, that's what I said, like we used to. You can call this one the teddy bear defense. Being a bear aficionado, I'm rather fond of them. But the teddy bear I'm referring to isn't one of those plush, soft, cute little things that children love. Uh-uh. The first teddy bear was a Target that was distributed to schools under the Teddy Roosevelt administration. Yep, it was to teach students how to shoot firearms. Now, much of our discussion has been based on what happened way back then, 1700s and 1800s. Now, surely all of that stuff doesn't apply today. I mean, we wouldn't really teach kids how to shoot in school, would we? Yeah, we would. In fact, here's David Barton from Wall Builders. Wall Builders owns the largest collection of early American artifacts, well, one of the largest collections, in the United States. Here he is talking about a 1970s physical education book. You're going to love this.
This is a published school PE book.
Right.
So PE, and this is from all the way through the 1970s, and oh my gosh, do we have all sorts of sports here. If I can get to the front cover of this thing. Yeah, we've got angling and archery and badminton and baseball and softball and basketball and bowling and field hockey and golf and gymnastics and tumbling and handball and lacrosse. And right here, we have an entire section on riflery.
Wow.
And so this is what we're teaching in the 70s, teaching kids how to handle the rifle, the parts of the rifle, all the different parts. And it also shows, along with the rifle, targets, how to score a target. And it shows you how to use a sling when shooting.
Yeah.
This is how to use the sling, and here was how to score the targets.
Now, would they actually shoot in school ever, well, or was it just theoretical?
Here's the interesting thing. They show you how to build a target box. And this is inside a house. You're shooting a .22 inside a house. And as they point out, we use these in gymnasiums and hallways and cafeterias. And if you want more information on this, go to the NRA.
Not only did we have guns in school, we fired them inside a school. Amazing, huh? This should show you how incredibly dishonest Joe Biden is. He knows for an absolute fact that we taught people how to shoot in high school. I mean, in 1959, he would have been 16 years old. It just shows you that either A, he's being completely dishonest, or B, he really is senile and doesn't remember it, both of which are probably true. Just so we have an idea of what we're talking about here, let's look at school shootings by the numbers. By school shooting, I mean any death of a child from kindergarten to a senior in college involving a firearm. That's a pretty broad definition, and I think it's a pretty charitable one too. Mark Twain said that there are three types of lies. There are lies, damned lies, and then there's statistics. So let's look at some of the statistics. The real ones, not the ones Sleepy Joe uses. All the numbers I'm about to give you come right off of Google. Even Sleepy Joe is talented enough to look these up. From 2000 to 2020, there were 293 deaths of school children in America. That averages out to about 15 per year. From 2000 to 2010, that's an average of about 11 a year. From 2010 to 2020, that's an average of 19 a year. So, given those numbers, yes, you could say that the shootings have gone up in the last 10 years. Let's give you some big picture here. On any given day in America, there are 50.7 million children going to school. That means that their chances of getting shot is 0.00003%. Let me give you a little perspective here. Your chances of being struck by lightning is 1 in 500,000. Your chances of being killed in a school shooting, 1 in 3.3 million. Don't misunderstand me. The death of any child is a tragedy, and we should do whatever we can to stop it. But it doesn't justify a national policy, and it certainly doesn't justify taking away the constitutional rights of millions of gun owners. What Sleepy Joe is trying to do is manipulate your emotions into supporting a national policy that deprives millions of people of their right to keep and bear arms. And the numbers just don't bear it out. They're nowhere near as dramatic as Joe's statistical lies. I say that Joe Biden is being dishonest because none of the facts agree with him. And in the 40 years of him being in government, he hasn't done anything to attack the real source of the problem. From the Cowboy State Daily on November 11, 2020, in an article entitled, "The Second Amendment in a World of President Biden," quote, "If we spent more time identifying and controlling dangerous or mentally ill people and less time worrying about inanimate objects such as cars, guns, hammers, knives, shoes, golf clubs, all of which can and have been used as dangerous weapons, we'd be more effective, more intelligent, and more honest. If we take a gun away from a dangerous person, all he has to do is to go get another. If we arrest drunk drivers, and we don't arrest the cars they drive." That's the whole point. There's one more piece of this that we haven't covered. The Second Amendment says the right of the people to keep and bear arms. It doesn't say the people shall have a right or the government grants a right. It says that the people already have a right. Now, this is best explained by Justice Scalia. Here he is again on the program Uncommon Knowledge.
The Second Amendment did not say that the people shall have the right to keep and bear arms, or even that, quote, "the government shall not prevent the people from keeping and bearing arms," but rather that the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. This triggered historical inquiry. So how does the history inform the reading of what strikes a layman like me as a very tricky text, that prefatory clause, comma?
Well, that passage you read triggered, historical inquiry because the Second Amendment refers to it as though it were a pre-existing right. It didn't say the people shall have the right, or even the government shall not take away arms, but rather the right of the people to keep and bear, as though it was a pre-existing right. And that triggered historical inquiry that takes you back to the English Bill of Rights, which sure enough contained the right to keep and bear arms.
This is so important. And just so we know exactly who we're dealing with, here's what Joe Biden has to say about that.
And so, it's bizarre. We never said you could own any weapon at all from the beginning. You can't own a machine gun. You can't own a bazooka. You can't own an M1 tank. No matter how much money you have, you can limit the kind of weapons that are able to be owned.
He's right. He didn't tell anyone that they could have a gun, nor did anyone in Congress. The Second Amendment tells me I can have a gun. What Joe Biden is saying is regardless of what the Constitution says, regardless of what history says, regardless of what a natural right is, that he, the government, can take away your right to keep and bear arms. If this doesn't scare the living daylights out of you, I don't know what will. So now we come to the whole crux of tonight's program, and that is that Joe Biden has no interest whatsoever in preventing violence in America, despite all of his rhetoric. The only thing he is interested in is control. And that is controlling you, the American citizen. It doesn't have anything to do with hunting. In fact, the only hunting related to the Second Amendment is hunting tyrants. It doesn't have anything to do with the small amount of kids dying in schools from mass shootings. If he really wanted to do something, he would have in the last 40 years. The only things he's done related to guns affect law-abiding, legal, gun-owning Americans. And that's it. Tonight, I've proven to you that you absolutely 100% have a right to own an AR-15. So why then is Joe Biden so concerned about them? That answer is easy. Because the AR-15 would be the weapon of choice for people to resist a tyrannical government. The only thing standing in between Joe Biden's plan of control and the American citizen is the Second Amendment. For the Democrats to enact their crazy agenda, they have to get rid of the Second Amendment. Why, you ask? Because many of their policies are going to destroy large swaths of this country, including Wyoming. Take, for example, the Green New Deal. That would destroy the Wyoming economy and your livelihood. However crazy we accuse Democrats of being, they know that the most dangerous thing to a politician is an American that has nothing to lose. So, the only thing really standing in their way of absolute control over your daily life is the Second Amendment, and that's why they have to destroy it. You think I'm the crazy one? I'm not, and I'll prove it to you. Let's start with one of Joe Biden's campaign ads.
Who in God's name needs a weapon that can handle 100 rounds? For God's sake. The Second Amendment says that we can limit who can own a weapon. They can limit what kind of gun you can own.
The Second Amendment doesn't say any of those things. And you know it, because I've proven it on this program. And who needs a weapon that can hold 100 rounds? An American citizen that's resisting a tyrannical government. That's who needs a weapon like that. Last, the whole Democratic argument against guns is what's called an appeal to emotion. That's an effort to win an argument without facts, without logic, and without reasoning, but instead by manipulating the emotions of the audience, you, the American voter. It's a logical fallacy. And as you can tell by tonight's program, that is the only thing they have to argue, a fallacy. This next part is for all those people that lit up my Facebook page claiming that Joe Biden doesn't want to take our guns. Anybody remember this?
So to gun owners out there who say, well, a Biden administration means they're going to come for my guns.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon. The fact of the matter is they should be illegal, period.
Let's hear it one more time just for effect.
Bingo. You're right if you have an assault weapon.
Now, I'm sure the opposition is going to argue that, well, you know, that's just AR-15s, and, you know, we've got plenty of other guns. They're not taking all of our guns away. But that's not exactly the case when you look at Joe Biden's website. In his own words, here it comes. He's got a number of proposals. The first one says, ban the manufacture and sale of assault weapons and high-capacity magazines. Okay, AR-15s, that's what he's talking about. At the bottom, it says, Biden will also use, quote, his executive authority, end quote, to ban the importation of assault weapons. I wonder what else he's going to use his executive authority for. The next one, regulate possession of existing assault weapons under the National Firearms Act. This is gun registration, folks. Quote, currently the National Firearms Act requires individuals possessing machine guns, silencers, or short-barreled rifles to undergo a background check and register those weapons with the ATF. Due to these requirements, such weapons are rarely used in crimes. That's because they're really hard to get. As President Biden will pursue legislation to regulate possession of existing assault weapons under the National Firearms Act. If you don't know what that is, he means that in order to have an assault weapon, an AR-15, you'll have to have a $200 tax stamp. That's in his plan. Those are pretty hard to get, and they take a really long time. Also, you'll have to have a $200 tax stamp for every magazine for that gun. So the one gun I have in my house, we're talking thousands of dollars. Next, buy back the assault weapons and high-capacity magazines already in our communities. I'm sure they're going to give us exactly what those guns are worth. No, they won't. It'll be pennies on the dollar. That is called theft. And if I don't agree with Biden's plan of giving up my firearms or registering them with the federal government, well, then they'll just throw me in jail for 10 years or fine me $10,000. That is called extortion, both of which are felonies if you or I committed them. None of these items are going to stop at AR-15s. Eventually, it will encompass all weapons. That is because they have to. Other provisions in Biden's plan. He wants to end the online sale of firearms and ammunition. Well, that'll be fantastic. Also, he wants to end the protection of gun manufacturers so that they can't be sued if someone shoots up a school. This will end firearm manufacturing in America. Does Biden want to take your guns? Yes, and he wants to prevent you from acquiring any other ones. every single other time this has been tried in human history, it has always led to a totalitarian regime, every single time. Don't believe me? Here's Kitty Werthmann, who is a survivor of the Holocaust from Austria. I strongly suggest you listen to her whole speech. It's available on the website. But here she is talking about gun registration.
We also had gun control. We had to register our guns. All the government said guns are very unsafe. Children are playing with guns. And there were many hunting accidents. And we also had murderers again. And the only way that they could track the murderers was by the serial number of the guns. Bring them to the police station. Everybody had to bring their gun to the police station so they could identify the serial number. Well, we were still law-abiding citizens, and we brought our guns to the police station, and they took down the serial number. Wasn't much longer that they said, no, it didn't work. We still had murderers and they couldn't track them. The best way that we would have no more crimes and no more accidents, nobody would get hurt, bring the guns to the police station, and then we wouldn't have any more crime. They already know who had guns, and if you didn't bring your gun to the police station, capital punishment. I didn't see any heroes. Keep your guns and buy more guns.
History always repeats itself. And every single time the tyrants say, no, this time it will be different. It's never different. Control always ends up the same way. The only possible remaining argument against everything we've covered in tonight's program is that, oh, this is America. That can't happen here. Yeah, right. Yeah, in World War II, while we were fighting Adolf Hitler, we didn't round up thousands of Japanese Americans and put them in internment camps and seize all of their property. I suggest you take a trip to Powell, Wyoming, and find out that America is not above attacking an entire class of people. This isn't hyperbole. This is history. Power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. And Lord Acton has been proven right over and over again throughout history. This is no different. Here's David Koppel again from the Independence Institute and from the Cato Institute.
All you can do is look at history and say every regime which has perpetrated genocide has attempted to first disarm the intended victims, and to the extent they have succeeded in completely, as in Turkey against the Armenians, the armed resistance has saved many, many lives. And that is likewise true. As Aristotle said, tyrants always mistrust and disarm their people. And every tyranny considers disarmament an important thing to do. So when you look at it from the tyrant's perspective, there seem to be quite substantial risks and dangers of an armed population.
So again, why does Joe Biden want to take away your guns? Simple. He sees no end to the amount of control that he can exercise if he eliminates the Second Amendment, or he just restricts all the gun ownership in America. It's that simple, folks. It's no more difficult than that. The last piece of this is that all of these gun registration proposals and all of the gun confiscation that's going to happen afterwards are what are called ex post facto laws. It means after the fact. They're prohibited by the U.S. Constitution in Article 1, Section 9. I suggest you look up the whole Constitution, but specifically that part as well. So to give you an example of what an ex post facto law is, let's say today it's entirely legal to purchase a bicycle. So you go purchase a bicycle. And tomorrow a law is passed that says purchasing a bicycle is illegal. And then they prosecute you for what you did before the law was passed. That's an ex post facto law. And that's precisely what all of these gun registration and confiscation and all of this stuff is. To put it simply, Joe Biden wants to make criminals out of millions of everyday Americans. Imagine that. Criminals out of law-abiding citizens. We've covered a lot in tonight's program. We started with the original intent behind the Second Amendment. That is, a citizen's God-given right to resist a tyrannical government. We've looked at how it applies to today. We've examined Joe Biden's plan for gun registration and what it actually is about. It's not really about guns, it's about control. And we've discussed how the Second Amendment is the last line of defense before we fall off into an abyss of government power and authority and control. I hope you learned something. So tonight, I want to leave you with the words of three of our founders, Thomas Paine, Noah Webster, and Patrick Henry, in that order. The balance of power is the scale of peace. The same balance would be preserved were all the world not destitute of arms, for all would be alike. But since some will not, others dare not lay them aside. Horrid mischief would ensue were one half the world deprived of the use of them. The weak will become a prey to the strong. Before a standing army can rule, the people must be disarmed, as they are in almost every kingdom in Europe. The supreme power in America cannot enforce unjust laws by the sword because the whole body of the people are armed and constitute a force superior to any band of regular troops that can be on any pretense raised in the United States. They tell us that we are weak, unable to cope with so formidable an adversary. But when shall we be stronger? Will it be when we are totally disarmed and when a British guard shall be stationed in every house? 3 million people armed in the holy cause of liberty are invincible by any force which our enemy can send against us. Have a good Labor Day, and we'll talk again on Wednesday. From the base of the Bighorns in beautiful Buffalo, Wyoming, I'm David Iverson, and this is Cowboy State Politics.